This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now, back to Frank Cusimano from the McBride & Son Home Studios.
On the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.
Well, I should not have mentioned that I called AAA when I had that flat tire. I'm getting killed on these text lines. Somebody texting in, Frank, who pumps your gas? Well, Monique, of course. Joining us now, the one and only Bill McDermott. Bill, good to be with you. How are you?
Fine, Frank. How you been?
Very good. Let's just good. Say, Bill, you're coming home from an event at the MAC. You've just entertained the crowd with your great MC ability, and you're driving on Highway 40 like I was, and you have a flat right there at Hampton. Bill, do you take off the Gucci slippers and then put on some tennis shoes and actually change the tire, or are you calling AAA?
Well, first and foremost, Aston Martin DB10s don't get flats. I have a metallic blue one, very similar to Daniel Craig at Casino Royale.
So would you change the tire, though?
I would make a vain attempt to do so, but I would probably do what you did, yes.
Okay.
If I'm coming home from emceeing an event at the MAC, I can't risk getting anything on the Brioni.
And only five people got that, but you and I were the ones.
Yeah, but that's okay. You and I did.
Bill's being sarcastic. Do you have a Brioni? No.
No, what? Are you, Frank, I don't work in local television.
Oh,
local
yeah, yeah, right.
No, I don't.
For the people who don't know this, Brioni suits at Sam Cavato's would conservatively sell for about $7,000 or $8,000 a suit.
I don't know if they're quite that much, but I know one thing for sure. A Brioni tuxedo, catch this now, the kind that Daniel Craig wore in Casino Royale, $6,200.
Wow. Yeah.
Hello?
I'm looking at a Brioni right now here. Brian put it up online. Not for me to buy, but it's $6,300.
Brioni, Canali, Zegna, all cut from the same cloth. Excuse me, that's a horrible pun. But the price-wise, pretty much all the same, sure.
Okay, Bill, first of all, on this soccer thing. You're not downtown. You're not asking the people what they think and everything. But just kind of a gut feel. I mean, if you had to lay a milkshake bet down, do you have a feel if it's going to pass?
I think that as opposed to 2 or 3 weeks ago when I wasn't getting a real decent vibe, the places where we've been speaking lately and the places where we will be before the election, and in particular, tomorrow night at St. Raphael Parish beginning at 6:30, where Dave Peacock and Jim Cavanaugh both will be. And as a matter of fact, it's an event like it capsulizes 1, 2, 3, 4 different parishes. Pierre Benoist has organized that along with St. Louis FC. I think more people are getting the message, and I have a much better feel for it, Frank. So in answer to your question, in a long-winded way, yes, I do think it's going to pass.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up, because I want to find out what you guys are doing grassroots-wise. I thought today...
Every night, somebody from St. Louis FC, someone involved in the group, Jim, Pat... Paul Edgerly when he's in town, Jim Cavanaugh and I were on Cam Wex last night with Chris Raby for an hour to kind of detail what was going on and what will go on leading up to next Tuesday. So it's, even though it hasn't been tremendously visible television and radio wise, every night, someplace, somewhere, speaking to a neighborhood association, a union group, a town hall, something of that nature. Every night since this overall scenario has been announced, there has been people speaking to groups everywhere in the city.
Okay, so tomorrow night, 6:30, you're at St. Raphael's, correct?
St. Raphael.
Okay.
And Jim Cavanaugh and Dave Peacock will be there, and they will outline everything, take questions from the audience, and answer anything. And this will be a real good opportunity for people in that vicinity, or as a matter of fact, from anywhere, to come together down at Raphael and get a real good feel for what's going on.
Okay, give me a what else? A Friday, Saturday, or Sunday? What else do you know?
It's not finalized yet, but a lot of things will be going on at Saturday night at Worldwide Technology Soccer Park because it's the opening date for St. Louis FC. A lot of things will still be going over the weekend, none of which have been totally finalized yet. But again, it's just a matter of getting out, talking to local groups who are in the city, some of whom, Frank, majority of whom, have a good feel for it. But just some final things, and we'll certainly be at the polls on Tuesday, any and all places around the city to answer any and all questions.
What do you think of the commissioner's performance in St. Louis? I think I want to bring this out, too, because there's 11 or 12 cities battling for these four spots. The commissioner's not going to those other cities. He's coming to St. Louis. It's like the polar opposite of Roger Goodell, who wanted to get St. Louis off the NFL landscape. This guy desperately wants it to have it happen here.
You don't have to read between the lines here about Don Garber's visit. You don't have to read between the lines because it is blatantly obvious. He and his overall organization, the expansion committee, Clark Hunt, Jonathan Kraft, Dan Cordemanche, Mark Abbott, the people from the league office, they want this to happen. Frank, briefly, I'll go. It's Charlotte, North Carolina, Cincinnati, Detroit, Indianapolis, Nashville, Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina, Sacramento, San Antonio, Tampa, St. Pete, San Diego, and Phoenix. Those are the other 11 cities that on January 31st submitted all the franchise paperwork to make themselves available to be a potential franchise in this league. And the one thing that has been key within the last, maybe the past 15 years, one of the absolute key driving forces behind this, Frank, behind the growth of MLS, has been the success of its expansion teams, all the way back to 07 when the league went into Canada with Toronto, Seattle in 09 up in the Pacific Northwest, again with Portland up there in 2011, Orlando in 2015, which has gone crazy, and then Atlanta this year. Atlanta has no semblance of organized soccer. There's youth games and things of that nature, but since for all intents and purposes, the NASL Atlanta Chiefs, nothing has gone on down there. But since Arthur Blank bought into the Atlanta franchise, their very first game, they had 55,000 for a league game for soccer in the United States. They followed that up with 40,000. So this is a sport that has indeed arrived in the United States. And if St. Louis isn't allowed to play a part in this, this will be an unbelievable, huge oversight for everybody who wants to have quality entertainment on a regular basis in downtown St. Louis.
So what are your plans election day? I mean, is there going to be people with St. Louis FC and the SCSTL at every polling location handing out literature?
Yes, sir. And we'll hand it out wherever you can. The appropriate distance away from the polling places. There might be some youth players out there with some of us, some representing St. Louis, Scott Gallagher. And this is another huge part of the makeup of the overall equation, Frank, and one of the things that the commissioner really likes, the league likes, as a matter of fact. The existing infrastructure for soccer in St. Louis is the way it's supposed to be and the way it's being done around the entire world. A youth academy system, a PDL, a USL, and a St. Louis team in the USL, as I mentioned, St. Louis FC. Lou Fewes is getting involved in it. So this is the way soccer is supposed to be accomplished, not just here in St. Louis, but around the United States with any team that's trying to get an expansion team. And, frankly, it's the way it's done around the world.
All right, before I let you go, quick thought. USA ties Panama last night. Is that disappointing? And then is this Christian Pulisic, is he the best young player you've ever seen in the United States?
He's certainly the best I've seen in a long, long time. With reference to your first question, Frank, when you get a point in CONCACAF World Cup qualifying on the road, you take it and you go. But the United States still has, they have to, it's almost mandatory they get wins in every home game. Now, the thing I will say about Panama is, yeah, I'm still wondering if they knew there was a soccer ball on the field. They had no intention of trying to play soccer. All it was to foul people, disrupt the overall flow of the game, and they pretty much accomplished that because it was due in large part to the fact that it was real ugly soccer throughout the entire time. But if you get a point on the road in CONCACAF World Cup qualifying, you take it and go.
And finally, our general manager here at KFNS, our mutual friend Dave Green, has heard about you speaking with Jim at St. Rayfield's Thursday at 7:30. He's wondering if you will also be speaking at Shar Ameth in the near future.
Not to my knowledge, but, you know, with reference to that, it's odd you should bring this up. The atheists have formed a new group with the Jewish congregation out there on Olive and 270. It's going to be called Share Nothing. Thank you.
Well played. I'll see you soon, sir. Thank you.
All right, Frank. Thank you.
Very Bye good. Now. All right. Let's see. Do we have anything? Let's go to break. Come back, take some texts, and we'll finish out the program, give out our communicator of the day.